So throughout this year, we're talking about connecting to God and one another. In this season of Lent, we're listening for the voice of God within us, connecting to God. You know how sometimes when you hear something or read something or watch something, all of a sudden some pieces fall into place. Some connections are made when you hear or see or watch something. We discover something. That's my prayer for us this morning. As you hear this familiar story from Luke chapter 15, think about going on a journey of discovery, about a familiar story that Jesus tells, that perhaps with hearing it and hearing the word about it, that something new might fall into place. Open your minds and your hearts to how might some pieces in my life fall into place, connect to God and maybe to others as I hear this familiar story. The story begins like this in Luke 15, and then there's a couple of little stories before the one that Dave is going to read. Luke 15 begins like this. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." And then Jesus told this story.
I'm reading from Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But then he came to himself. He said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he went off and went to his father. But when he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And when his son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you in heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when his son of yours comes back and has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Turn our hearts toward you, O God, and help us hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been thinking a lot about people through my years of living, thinking about people who I have admired or wanted to be like. You think about some of those people in your own life? I think about how they're wise, people who are wise. Sometimes they're old, but sometimes younger. They care about themselves, but they love other people more. And they want the best for others. They are realistic and seldom afraid. I think about my first spiritual director, Sister Emily. She was a very elderly Dominican sister. And at a particularly difficult time in my life, she held me in her arms and helped me heal and reminded me that I was a beloved child of God. I think about my friend, Harmon, who recently left this life, and who had healing hands, literally healing hands. And I think about his wise words and his gentle ways and how he always welcomed me back whenever I went off on some tangent or something like that. And I think about a little child that I knew who had some really serious physical challenges, how I got to watch him grow, and I got to watch him be resilient. I got to watch him be full of joy in spite of the challenges and surgeries and pain in his life. And he was wise, is wise beyond his years. These are people who have helped me grow up and grow beyond into what God wants me to be, I think. The truth is that I want to grow up and be like the Father in Jesus' story. I want to grow up and be compassionate and joyful and willing to let go and loving his children with their faults and their failures and welcoming them home. I want to grow up and be like the Father because I think that's what God wants of me. To learn more about how to do that, we need to step into the story Jesus told about being lost and found and returning home. You see, Jesus told this story because the leaders around him, the scribes and the Pharisees, were grumbling and complaining about who Jesus was hanging out with. And so he told the story. And I think there's a painting that helps us with the story. Rembrandt's famous painting, Return of the Prodigal Son. This painting, the original, is in the Hermitage in St. Petersburg in Russia. Catherine the Great brought it there. This was painted in the 1600s, just a few years before Rembrandt died. And it's 6 feet wide and 8 feet high in the original. How many times have we listened to this familiar story and figured it was about other people and we just watched it from the outside? Today we get to step into the story and give up for a few moments the role of a bystander and find ourselves. The thing about the painting is that it is still. It is utterly still. Often when we see something about this story, we see the father rushing toward the son. But in Rembrandt's painting, the father waits there as the son kneels before him. And the father has two hands on him. One hand that is kind of mighty and strong. And the other hand is from another painting by Rembrandt of a Jewish wife. So a gentle and a tender hand. The story and the painting invites us to look at it and see first the sons and find ourselves. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. We find that the younger son has returned home, and here's some things we discover about him. He has been loved so much by the father that he was free to leave, free to go. We find that he spends his time searching for unconditional love in places where it cannot be found, in food and drink and sex and other things. He finds that he is truly lost without any connection to anyone. He's not even considered human because they wouldn't even let him eat the pods that the humans gave to the pigs. It is a complete loss of everything of who he is, and that's what brings him to his senses. In his returning home, we discover something quite astonishing. The father doesn't ask him where he's been or what he's been doing or judge him or scold him. He only shows him compassion. The father holds his tongue on everything else and only welcomes him home. And even more, and this is important, the father will not let him be a hired hand. He is to be restored to his former place, and the question for him becomes, does he truly want to be restored to the full responsibility of the son, or settle for being a hired servant? Hired hands are good and needed, but will the son accept the forgiveness that's offered and let God fully restore him, help him grow up and beyond? In other words, will he grow up? As he has been forgiven and welcomed home, will he grow up and take his place as a leader alongside the father? He gets another chance to go beyond where he's been and go into the place he's called to, alongside the father. Well, that's the younger son. How about the older son? We find that he needs to return home too, by another road. This elder son, when he's confronted with his father's joy at the return of his younger brother, this dark power erupts in him. And it boils to the surface, and suddenly this unkind part of him that waits in all of us shows its face. He has this desire to be good and virtuous, and he has been. He's practiced that all of his life. In fact, that's probably why it's so much harder to him, for him, because his hiddenness is wedded to his desire to be good. Because he's so resentful, he can have no joy over his brother's return. A resentful heart blocks joy. He has to make a choice, this older brother. Will his resentment be more powerful than any joy? Here we find how lost the elder son is. He's a foreigner in his own house. He is the elder son. The elder son is on the right-hand side of the painting, looking in, dressed in his royal robes, but yet a foreigner in his own house. Is there a way out? Well, not on his own. Although he has a choice, he cannot do this on his own. He must be brought home by the God who loves and seeks him. This will require two things of the elder brother. He needs to trust in the father's love for him. Can he trust that the father loves him too? Oh, so much. He has this spiritual choice to trust. Without trust, he cannot let himself be found. Trust is the deep inner conviction that the father wants him home too, which the father has told him and shown him. But here's the main thing for the elder son. He needs to choose gratitude rather than complaining. What can he do to make a return home possible for him, a return to joy? He can allow himself to be found by God and healed by his love by a daily practice of trust and gratitude. Trust and gratitude are the disciplines for the conversion of the elder son. Gratitude, you see, is the opposite of resentment. Resentment blocks the perception and the experience of life as a gift. Resentment tells me that I don't receive what I deserve, and it manifests itself in envy. Gratitude as a discipline involves a conscious choice, choosing gratitude instead of complaining. Acts of gratitude make one grateful, because step by step they begin to reveal that all is grace. How will the elder son look when he's free from his complaints, free from his anger, free from his resentments and his jealousy. What joy awaits the older son? It is time for him to grow up and go beyond, to let go of resentments and be able to be grateful and to practice those every day. What about the father in Jesus' story and then in the painting? We discover right away that he has been willing to let go, to let the son go. How hard is that for us? How hard is it for the father to let the son go and be willing to let him make his own way? And then he welcomes him home. He had no need to take sides, to compare one son to another, one child to another. All he did was celebrate the return and invite everyone into that, even those who didn't want to come. Underneath that are some characteristics that tell us who the father really is. He is pure compassion. He cares more about his children than himself because he has a deep heart for the world, for the sadness and the suffering of the world. He offers unconditional forgiveness. He doesn't ask for explanations or require that the sons make up with him or with each other. It is pure, unconditional forgiveness. It's terribly hard for us to understand. But this is what Jesus shows us in the Father. He shows simple thanks that the younger son has returned and that the older son has always been with him. He is a man of gratitude, pure gratitude and a generosity of spirit. And then he exudes pure joy. In other words, the father chooses to wrap them all in joy and in celebration. It doesn't mean he's been ignoring the darkness or the difficulty of the world, but that joy overcomes it. The ones who are lost are found. He chooses to see joy. It is the joy of belonging to the household of God, whose love is stronger than death and who empowers us to be in the world while already belonging to the kingdom of joy. People who come to know the joy of God do not deny the darkness, but they decide that the light will always overcome it. And here is what Jesus is talking about and what God wants for us. God wants us to go beyond where we are and grow up, in fact, to be the Father. In the painting and in the story, this is our call, to become the welcoming father who calls for a celebration, to not remain a child. Whether we are the younger or the older son, we are the children of our compassionate father. While we sometimes act like the selfish younger son and feel like the resentful older brother, we are called to be the merciful father, to grow up into God, to know ourselves as the younger or older son, but to grow beyond that, to become like the Father. That's really Jesus' point in the story. We don't know what happens to the younger or the older son in the story, but the Father we see in action. To become like the Father, or perhaps the mother, if that's more comfortable for you, but this one is a father story. About the father at his very best, that has nothing to do with power or control and everything to do with compassion and forgiveness and generosity and pure joy. Jesus shows us the way. He is the model for us to become like the father. You know, like those people that I talked about just a few minutes ago. Perhaps they were at one time the younger son or the older brother. Sister Emily, my friend Harmon, the little guy with all the challenges, and so many other people in my life. I had so much trouble figuring out even who to talk about, people who have helped me grow up and grow beyond. Maybe they were once like the younger son or the older brother, but they grew up to show me about the Father, to help me grow up and grow beyond, to grow toward compassion and forgiveness and generosity. And most of all, you know I love joy and celebration. That the lost, including me, that joy, the joy of the Father is that the lost, including me, including you, is found. And the gentle and strong hand of the Father upon each one of us says, now get up and be who I've called you to be by God's grace. No longer called to come home, you see, but to be home. To be home for those who need to come home. To help others grow up and grow beyond by a gentle and a strong hand. And so we pray. Thank you, O Lord, for the gift of my life. Thank you for teaching us through the parable and opening new possibilities to us. Hold us in your arms when we return home and restore to us all that you want us to do. Help us see our resentments and the ways they snuff out joy and move us beyond them into gratitude. Make us in your likeness, O God, so that we might welcome home with a gentle and a strong hand all those who need your amazing grace. Amen.